The email hit my inbox at 6:42 a.m., before the office was awake and before I had decided who I was going to be that day. The glow of my phone lit up the ceiling while I lay there listening to traffic hiss against wet pavement outside my apartment window. Promotion announcement. My name in bold. New title. Effective immediately. I remember staring at it, my thumb hovering over the screen, feeling that strange heat crawl up my neck. Not pride. Not exactly dread either. Something heavier. Something sticky. I hadn't asked for this. I also hadn't refused the thing that came before it. By the time I got to work, the air felt different. Congratulatory smiles, a few raised eyebrows. Someone clapped softly as I walked past, like we were in on a joke together. I could still smell his cologne on the scarf I'd worn the night before, clean and expensive and impossible to ignore. That was when it landed fully. Whatever story people decided to tell about how I got here, I was already inside it. And the fallout wouldn't care about my intentions. I had been at the company long enough to understand its rhythms. Long enough to know which deadlines were flexible and which were traps. Long enough to recognize that advancement wasn't just about performance, even though performance was the language everyone used. It was about visibility, favor, being legible to power. He was one of the people who mattered. Not the top, but close enough that his opinions shaped outcomes before they ever became official. He had a reputation for being fair, for developing talent. People trusted him. That trust followed him into rooms I wasn't allowed into yet. I worked hard, the way people do when they believe effort still counts for something. Late nights, clean reports, anticipating questions before they were asked. When he noticed, it felt earned. He looped me into conversations, asked my opinion, referenced my work when higher-ups were present. I told myself this was what mentorship looked like when it actually worked. The culture blurred lines without admitting it. Drinks after late meetings, personal check-ins disguised as concern. Everyone pretended not to notice how often influence traveled through informal channels. There was no policy for that, just a quiet understanding. Our conversations shifted gradually. Work bled into personal territory. He shared frustrations, framed himself as constrained, misunderstood by leadership above him. I listened. I related. I felt useful in a way that went beyond my job description. I noticed the looks before I acknowledged them, the way his eyes lingered, the way he positioned himself closer when we talked. I noticed, and I didn't stop it. I told myself awareness was enough. I told myself I could handle it. There was a part of me that liked being chosen. I didn't say that out loud, not even to myself at first, but it was there, that quiet validation that said I was more than competent, more than replaceable. In an environment that constantly reminded you how disposable you were, that mattered. I ignored the warnings because they were inconvenient, because nothing bad had happened yet, because I believed I could step back whenever I wanted. I had seen other women labeled ambitious in ways that didn't sound flattering. I had learned how quickly narratives hardened once they were whispered. So when the invitation came to grab a drink after a long week, I said yes without thinking too hard about what yes might eventually mean. It didn't feel like a dramatic turning point in the moment. No thunder, no sudden collapse of logic, just a sequence of choices that made sense until they didn't. The night blurred work and intimacy in ways I had warned other people about and never thought would apply to me. I didn't ask for promises. He didn't make any. We both pretended context didn't exist, even though it was the only thing that mattered. The promotion came faster than I expected. Too fast. Before anyone could pretend it was part of a long-term plan, that's when I knew it would never be clean. He framed it as deserved. He said he had been advocating for me for months. Maybe that was true. Maybe it wasn't. The timing poisoned everything. Compliments felt loaded. Praise felt transactional. I couldn't tell where my work ended and his influence began. People reacted differently. Some were openly supportive. Others went quiet. A few avoided me entirely. I became hyper-aware of how I moved through the office, how often I spoke, how confident I was allowed to sound before it tipped into something dangerous. He expected gratitude, not explicitly, but it lived in his tone, in the way he checked in the assumption that our connection continued just because circumstances had changed. When I pulled back, he seemed surprised, offended even. as if the promotion had sealed something I hadn't agreed to sign. HR never knocked on my door. No one asked uncomfortable questions. The system didn't need to. It had already sorted things into acceptable and inconvenient. I could feel the leverage shift, the way silence wrapped itself around me like a requirement. The point of no return wasn't the night itself. It was the moment I realized that saying anything now would sound like regret or revenge or excuse-making. I had benefited. That fact alone would drown out everything else. So I stayed quiet. I did the job. I absorbed the looks. I swallowed the discomfort and told myself I was strong enough to carry it. The title didn't protect me the way I thought it might. It made me more visible, more scrutinized. Every mistake felt amplified. Every success felt suspect. I worked harder than ever, trying to outrun the narrative forming around me. He pulled away once it was clear I wouldn't play along. Professionally polite, personally distant. Whatever advantage I had gained became fragile, conditional. I understood then how quickly favor could be withdrawn. I left eventually, not because I was pushed out, but because staying required a kind of self-betrayal I couldn't sustain. I found another role where my name wasn't already tangled in someone else's story. People still ask about that promotion when it comes up on my resume. I keep my answer neutral, strategic. I don't correct their assumptions. I don't confirm them either. What lingers isn't guilt so much as clarity, about how easily systems blur responsibility, about how consent gets complicated when power is involved, about how outcomes don't care whether you asked for them or not. I didn't ask for it. I didn't refuse it either. And the fallout wrote its own ending, one I'm still living with, long after the title stopped meaning anything at all.